Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas 2024 through 2026 strategic plan. My name is Carmen, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question via the telephone, you will need to press star one one on your telephone. Then you will hear a message advising your hand is raised. To withdraw the question, press star one one again. This presentation contains statements that could constitute forward-looking statements. These statements appear in a number of places in this presentation and include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of Enel Américas and its management with respect to, among other things, Enel Américas business plan, Enel Américas cost reduction plans, trends affecting Enel Américas financial condition or results of operation, included market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or other or elsewhere, supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to Enel Américas or its subsidiaries. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risk and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in the equity capital markets, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in Enel Américas Integrated Annual Report. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which state only as of their dates. Enel Américas undertakes no obligation to release publicly the results of any revisions of these forward-looking statements, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Rafael de la Haza, Enel Américas Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Gracias, Carmen. Buenos días a todos. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas 2023 Investor Day. I'm Rafael de la Haza, Investor Relations of the company. During this presentation, our CEO, Aurelio Bustilho, is going to present a deep view on our strategy for the next 3 years, along with the main operational and financial indicators that we are forecasting for the 2024-2026 period. After the presentation, we are going to have a Q&A session, but please remember that only analysts and investors can ask questions in this session. Now, let's see today's agenda in slide number 2. We will begin the presentation with a summary of the macro context in the region, and then we will review how Enel Américas has evolved during the last years, putting a focus on the latest asset disposal plan that we announced last year. After that, we are going to present our strategy for the next 3 years. After we explain our strategy, we will see how this strategy translates into numbers, showing the main operational and financial figures expected for the period, along with the expected capital structure and the main targets for 2024-2026 period. The Q&A session will be run at the end of the presentation after some closing remarks. Questions can be made through the telephone line, through the webcast in the option Make a Question, and through the IR corporate email. So 3 options for the Q&A. Now, I will hand over to Aurelio. Aurelio, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Rafa. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our 2024-2026 strategic plan presentation. Let me begin this presentation with a view of the main macro indicators that will affect our business in the coming years. The numbers shown on this slide are consensus estimates. Our internal estimates are very aligned with them, and you can see in detail in the annexes. GDP has been negatively impacted in the last 3 years as a consequence of different situations such as COVID and Russia-Ukraine war, among others. However, we are beginning to see some recovery and the market expectations with a positive trend in Colombia and Brazil for the next 3 years. As you know, electric consumption is very aligned with GDP growth, so this is a positive news for us. Inflation has shown a positive trend in the last few years in most parts of the world. In the case of Colombia, 2023 should close with an inflation rate around 11.6%, while in Brazil this year we began to see a decrease in inflation and we expect to finish this year in around 4.7%. From 2024 onwards, we see an expectation the expectation is to see an important reduction in inflation rate and reach between 3.3% and 3.6% by 2026. Regarding FX, we expect basically flattish behaviors for Brazil and Colombia for the next 3 years. In the case of Brazilian reais for 2023, we expect an average of $5 per Brazilian reais and 5.18 in 2026, while Colombian pesos should close 2023 under our expectation at an average of 4.329 US dollars and reach 4.182 by 2026. Finally, in terms of interest rates, we expect to see a reduction during the plan period for Selic in Brazil and IBR in Colombia compared to 2023. But they are expected to remain at relatively high levels, reaching 8.3% and 5.4% respectively. These challenging macro scenarios comes along with a climate change risk and price volatility, as we'll see in the coming slide. Climate change is one of the most relevant risks that the world is facing today, and electric sector is particularly impacted by this. In the last few years, we have seen extreme climate events affecting our countries. High temperatures, droughts, and floods are now common situations in our perimeter, in our region. This entails volatility in water reservoirs and energy prices, along with a more challenging scenario in terms of maintaining quality indicators and stability on our service, forcing us to increase our efforts to deliver a good service. Nevertheless, our regions still offers significant opportunities and relevant growth potential, as we can see in slide 6. Electrification of our country, of our cities, entails that clients will shift their consumption towards electricity, supporting a recovery in power demand. The acceleration of the distributed capacity calls for grids enhancement to accommodate new connections. New renewable capacity is still needed in our region, and this type of energy are seen by governments and regulators as a remedy plan, as they are more competitive than conventional generation, and they can help in reducing electricity costs and support countries in becoming less dependent from coal, gas, and oil. Market liberalization is going to be a reality in Brazil in the coming years. This represents a unique growth opportunity, allowing us to increase our energy sales. Now, let me show a snapshot of our company's track record in this slide 8. Since 2018, year in which Enel Americas was created after the spin-off with Enel Chile, we have been able to make a fast transformation of our company into a much more renewable and diversified company. We have put our growth focus on renewable generation and modernization and digitalization of our grids, aiming towards the energy transition. Enel Americas has become a more sustainable company, with all its growth in generation coming from renewable sources. Our investments in grids, including new connections, digitalization, and efficiency, are contributing to create the electricity grids of tomorrow, secure, resilient, and reliable. All these improvements have been done with responsible financial policies, allowing us to be in a healthy and solid financial position, with ample flexibility to face any new challenge. Now, let's see our strategic pillars going forward in the coming slides. Our efforts will be focused at five key pillars in the coming years. First, we'll continue to moving ahead on our corporate simplification process. As announced last year, we decided to focus on countries where our strategy towards energy transition can be better implemented, such as Brazil and Colombia. Having clear our geographical position, we will focus our efforts in our main three business lines, grids, generation, and customers. In grids business, our goal is to maximize our RAB, remunerated asset base, growth through significant investments while moving ahead on digitalization and electrification of our concession areas, aiming to an improvement on quality indicators and energy losses. In generation business, we will continue focusing on developing new renewable capacity, but with a special focus on balancing risks, returns, and margin of each new investment in order to maximize returns. We will be very selective with each new project and also will keep the door open to third parties' contributions through partnership or stewardship models. In customer business, our goal is to boost new services and products aiming at electrification of our customer bases, with the objective of giving them a better services and an improved customer experience. At the same time, we are looking at the market liberalization in Brazil as a great opportunity to add value. Finally, for the coming 3 years, we are looking to improve our efficiencies and confirm a solid financial position. We are going to deeply analyze our OPEX and CAPEX in order to become more efficient. And at the same time, we'll make liability management actions in order to optimize our capital structure. As always, all these pillars are going to be managed, through sustainable actions, having ESG and value creation at the center of our strategy. Let's have a focus on our first pillar on the next slide, there, where I will give you an update in the coming slide. As we announced last year, we are moving ahead on our corporate simplification process, in which we intend to focus our efforts in Brazil, Colombia, and Central America. As of today, we have fully completed the sale of the thermal plants, Costanera and Dock Sud in Argentina, and we transferred the concession of CN in Brazil. We have also signed other sale processes that we expect to fully close this in the near term. That's the case of Enel Distribution Peru, Enel Generation Peru, and Cartagena Power Plant in Colombia. In the case of Enel Distribution Peru, we announced in April this year an agreement with China Southern Power Grid International for the sale of all our shares in that company. This operation has to be approved by the antitrust entity in Peru, in the COPI, and we expect to close this deal during the first months of 2024. Regarding Enel Generación Peru, last week we announced the agreement with Actis Investment Fund for the sale of our stake in that company. This process also needs to be approved by Indecopi, but in a simpler, faster process. We expect to have this deal fully closed by the second quarter of next year. Finally, Regarding Cartagena thermal plant in Colombia, we announced it in July the sale of these assets as part of our decarbonization plan. The deal establishes that the buyer will take control of the plant starting on December 1st, 2023. So during the next few days, this operation will be fully closed. On the topic of the remaining assets in Argentina, we are waiting to have more clarity on the political and regulatory scenario due to recent presidential elections, and we'll announce the coming months the next steps regarding these processes. Finally, let me announce that regarding Enel Ceará, we decided to put on hold this sale process. As we mentioned during the year, we are not in a rush to sell, and will not sell, and will sell only at the right price. Due to this, Enel Ceará will continue being part of our group. The total processes, the total proceeds that we are going to receive from the closed and announced deals amounts to be around $3.8 billion, and we are going to deconsolidate $0.9 billion of net debt, which represents 95% of completion regarding the disposal processes. Let's analyze our CapEx plan on the coming in the coming slide. Our capital allocation will be extremely selective and flexible, driven by value, focus on opportunities that might arise to maximize risk return profile of the company. Total CapEx plan for the period is $5.7 billion. Colombia and Brazil will be the main target of our investments, with 66% and 30% respectively. Argentina will represent 3%, Central America 1%, and Peru also 1%, considering that we disconsolidate, that we consolidate only the first quarter of 2024. In terms of business line, grids will represent 68% of total investments, while generation will be 27%, from which 26% corresponds to renewable generation. Retail and analytics will contribute with 3 and 2% respectively. Our CapEx plan is in line with the one presented last year. If we isolate the impact coming from changes in perimeter. Let's have a focus on grids business in the next slide. Investments in grids business will amount to $3.9 billion in the next 3 years and will be mainly focused on digitalization and grids improvements. 74% of CapEx will be invested in Brazil and 21% in Colombia. Investments in grids are crucial for the development of the countries as they allow to better accommodate the rapid increase of renewable generation and allow the offering of efficiency-based solutions to final clients. Our customer base will increase by 5%, reaching 20.5 million by 2026. Smart meters will significantly increase during the period of the plan, moving from 0.9 million by the end of this year to 2.9 million by 2026. This is a clear example of the relevance that we are giving to digitalization and energy transition. In terms of energy distributed, we expected an increase of around 4%, reaching 87 terawatt hour by the end of 2026, while in terms of RAB, our significant investment will allow us to move from $8.5 billion to $10.3 billion, an increase of 21%. Quality indicators will also be focused, as we will see in the coming slide. If we compare 2026 with 2023, on a pro forma basis, meaning by pro forma that we are not considering Argentina and Peru, our main KPIs show a positive trend. Energy losses will be reduced by 0.6 percentage points, reaching 11.3%, by 2026, mainly explained by improvements in Brazilian subsidiaries. This will allow us to improve our profitability in grids business. SAIDI, which is the amount of time of service interruption by the year, will be reduced by 7.2 hours to 6.9 hours in average, which implies 4% improvements. And in terms of SAIFI, the frequency will remain flat during the period of the plan. Besides looking to improve the services for our customer, we are in line with regulatory demands regarding the quality indicators. Let's now move to generation business in the next slides. Investments in generation business will be more selective in the coming years, looking to maximize our returns. CapEx will be $1.5 billion for the next 3 years, from which 53% will be devoted to Colombia and 42% to Brazil. 98% of our investments will be made in renewable energy. Our installed capacity will increase by 1.5 gigawatts, excluding assets disposals. 1.3 gigawatts will be solar plants and 0.2 gigawatts wind farms. With this, we will reach 12.1 gigawatts by 2026, from which 98% will be renewable capacity. Net production will increase by 12% when comparing 2026 with 2023, on a pro forma basis, of course, which means without Peru and Argentina. Regarding energy sales, we see a softer growth of 1% in the period, reaching 73.9 terawatt hours by 2026. Finally, in terms of contracted energy, as usual, we are looking to have a significant amount of our energy contracted for the following years. As we can see on the bottom chart, almost 100% of our energy is contracted for the next 2 years, and more than 80% for 2026. This allows us to have stable cash flows and be less exposed to hydrology risks. Let's see our pipeline in the coming slide. As we mentioned before, we are going to be very selective in the investment going forward. New capacity needs and price situation in generation business are quite different compared to some years ago. We have to deeply analyze every new project in order to see if it's profitable and convenient to all stakeholders. Currently, we have 1 gigawatt of capacity in execution, from which 77% is in Brazil and 23% in Colombia. In terms of technology, 81% of this capacity are solar plants, while 19% are wind farms. Most of these new plants will begin operation this year, and a small part will enter in 2024. Regarding our long-term pipeline, we are considering 47 gigawatts, from which 20 gigawatts are in early stage and 25 in mature stage. We are also considering 1 gigawatt of battery energy storage systems and 1 gigawatt project in execution just mentioned before. From these 47 gigawatts, 82% are solar and 15% wind, while in terms of countries, 69% is located in Brazil, 29% in Colombia, and 2% in Central America. On the next slides, we'll have a focus on customer business. We will continue with our efforts to maximize our customer engagement and satisfaction. We plan to invest $0.3 billion in the next 3 years in new projects and services aiming to accelerate electrification on our cities. Along with this, we expect to increase our free market customer by 87%, expanding our market share up to 10%. Let me remind you that we expect the liberalization of Brazil market by the end of 2026. This represents a huge opportunity to engage new clients and increase our customer base and energy sales. Energy sold will increase by 35%, reaching 27.2 terawatt hours by the end of 2026. Now, let me show the main financial figures of our plan in the coming slides. For the next 3 years, our focus will be on grids business and on selective renewable energy process, aiming to optimize returns and cash generation. As mentioned before, gross capex will reach $5.7 billion in the next 3 years, mainly located in Brazil and Colombia. EBITDA will grow by 70%, moving from $3.8 billion US dollars this year to a range between $4.3 and $4.5 billion US dollars by 2026. Brazil will grow around $400 million and Colombia in around $200 million. At the same time, we are implementing efficiency across our business, as we see in the next slides. OPEX for 2023 on a pro forma basis should reach $1.2 billion, and through different actions, we are going to be able to reduce $100 million by 2026. These actions mainly include reshape corporate processes, optimize mix between outsourced and insourced activities, streamline the organization, adopt standards and leveraging on technology improvements from our CapEx also, such as smart grids and data analytics, adapting to each country reality and to improve operational efficiencies. Let's have a focus on grids business in the next slides. CapEx in grids business will amount $3.9 billion in the next 3 years. 40% of this will be devoted to connections, 37% to maintenance of grids, and 23% to quality, resilience, and digitalization. EBITDA in grids business will grow around 9% in the period of the plan, reaching between 2.2 and 2.3 billion US dollars by 2026. This growth will come mainly from increase in demand, increases in tariff and RAB and OPEX efficiencies. Effects and inflation will have a negative impact of $100 million. As mentioned in the previous slides, we will implement actions that will allow us to reduce our OPEX. In that sense, OPEX per customer will move from $30 to $25 in the periods, OPEX per customer, in a decrease of 17%. At the same time, our investments will allow us to increase our regulatory asset base, improving the KPI RAB per customer from $436 to $503, which represents an increase of 15% in the period. The countries where we operate have stable and attractive regulatory frameworks, which is one of the main reasons why we are focusing our efforts in grids business. In that sense, we can see that the average regulatory return for the period 2023-2026 is around 11.3%. Let's move to generation business in the next slides. Our growth in generation business will be fully focused on renewable energy, moving ahead on our decarbonization strategy. CapEx will be $1.5 billion, with a very selective focus aiming to higher IRR and maximizing profitability. We expect to have an increase in EBITDA of 24%, reaching between $1.7 billion by 2026. Along with EBITDA increase, we will implement efficiencies allowing us to increase our margins. In the same sense, OpEx per megawatt hour will increase from $24 to will decrease, sorry, from $24 to $18 OpEx per megawatt hour. We have 100% of our contracted sales covered with our own generation and already signed PPAs, allowing us to have a very low risk level. Now, let's focus on our customers in the coming slides. We'll continue boosting our electrification and improving services for our customer base. We are setting the conditions to be fully prepared when market liberalization begins to be a reality, which we expect to happen by the end of 2026 in Brazil. We will invest $0.3 billion in the plan period with this objective. With this, we should see an EBITDA growth by around 32%, reaching $0.2 billion by 2026. In the coming slides, we'll have a focus on our financial management. Our strategy of being more selective on capital allocation and looking to improve profitability aims at a higher cash generation for the coming years. We are taking actions to optimize net working capital, and financial expenses should be significantly reduced after only after the disposal plan is completed, as we'll see in the next slides. Funds from operations for the period will reach close to $10 billion, while free cash flow will reach more than $2 billion. In the next slide, we'll analyze the use of proceeds coming from the disposal sales. The sale of Costanera and Dock Sud in Argentina, Termo Cartagena in Colombia, and Peruvian assets will leave us approximately $3.8 billion of proceeds after applicable taxes. As we have mentioned, most of these amounts will be used to reduce our financial liabilities and the avoidance of new debt. The settlement of São Paulo Pension Fund accounts for $1.2 billion. And along with this, we are taking liability management actions, aiming to reduce our debt for an amount of $1.9 billion. That leaves us with $0.7 billion of proceeds, for which we are still analyzing what is the best and possible alternative proceeds for our company, and our shareholders. Net debt to EBITDA ratio is currently at 1.4 times, and after we receive the proceeds come from disposal, this ratio will significantly reduce. However, we are looking for alternative to optimize the financial structure of our company, maintain that ratio in a comfortable and optimal level during the next years, which should be between 1 and 1.5 times. That's why we are analyzing alternatives only after to apply only after the conclusion of our selling process that we commented before. Let's see our debt situation in the next slides. As we mentioned, we intend to reduce our debt and decrease our financial expenses. As of September 2023, our gross debt reached $7.2 billion. By the end of 2026, we expect to have $5.3 billion of gross debt. This amount will be well balanced between Brazil and Colombia, with 55% and 45% respectively, and most of it will be at floating rates. Cost of debt should decline in an important manner as the expected trend for interest rates in Brazil and Colombia is to reduce. And our liability management, of course, actions are close, are looking for additional reductions. Having lower debts and lower costs of debt will allow us to significantly reduce our financial expenses by almost 50% by 2026. In the coming slides, we'll have a focus on our liquidity position and maturity. Our current liquidity position amounts to $2.6 billion, while between cash and committed credit lines. This liquidity will increase in a significant manner after we receive the payments from the assets sale process commented before, still pending to be concluded, we expected this by next year, which is already mentioned, amounts to $3.8 billion. Maturities for the coming years are not significant considering cash generation and liquidity position. This allows us to reduce financial risk and maintain a healthy situation, healthy financial situation. To conclude this presentation, let's see a summary of our financial targets in the next slides. EBITDA will grow from $3.8 billion expected for this year, 2023, on a pro forma base, to a range between $4.3 and $4.5 billion in 2026. Net income will have a compound annual growth rate by 20%, reaching $1.4 to $1.5 billion by the end of 2026. CapEx will be reduced as we aim to be much more selective on our investment and will focus in optimized profitability. Let me conclude this presentation with some closing remarks. Our first goal is to complete the simplification process we announced last year. Sale operations are moving ahead well, very well on track. In the coming years, our main investment focus will be in grids business, which offers attractive and stable regulatory frameworks. We are aiming at improving quality indicators and resilience in our concession areas. We will continue to develop new renewable capacity, but being much more selective on new investments, aiming at optimizing returns and reduce risks. Customer business will be focusing new products and services, looking at boost electrification along with the growth opportunity coming from the market liberalization and aligned with improvement of course, of quality in our grids. Efficiencies will be part of our goals and for the coming years, allowing us to ensure a healthy financial position for our company. After the disposal plans is completed, after we completed the disposal plans, we'll look for the best way to optimize our capital structure and define shareholders' remunerations. Improve our financial and corporate structure. Rafa.
Well, thank you, Aurelio, for such a complete presentation. Now we will move to the Q&A session, as we announced at the beginning of this presentation. Remember, please, that to make questions can be made only through three different alternatives: by the telephone line, through the webcast, and through the corporate IR email. First of all, we are going to start with the ones that we are receiving from the telephone line. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you so much. And as a reminder to our tele audience, press star 11 to get in the queue if you have a question. One moment while we compile the Q&A roster. One moment for our first question. comes from the line of Beatriz Gianola with Mediobanca. Please proceed.
Yes, good morning to everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. I have two, three from my side. The first one is about the dividend policy. In your previous BP, you indicated a 30% dividend payout policy for the period 2024-2026. So just wanted to understand whether this target is confirmed. The second one is about debt, and in particular, slide number 26. I just wanted to understand whether the leverage ratio targets that you indicate already take into account the effect of the asset disposals, and also is the 1.0, 1.5 times goal something that you feel comfortable by the end of the plan? And also, can you provide more color on how do you see net debt evolving in 2024 and in 2025? And then as a last question, you have mentioned the suspension of Ceará sale in Brazil, as the company is waiting to receive the best valuation for the asset. So which multiple do you believe would be appropriate for this type of transaction? Thank you.
Hi, Beatriz. Thank you for your question. Regarding the dividend policy, yes, we are considering, we're being very conservative on this. As you can see, the interest rates and the cost of capital are still high, so we've been conservative and maintained the 30%. After we complete the transaction, let's say the sales process that we announced last year and moving very well on track. But after we close this processes by next year, we can analyze alternatives also for maybe increase the remuneration for shareholders. And maintaining this limit of 1.5 times net debt to EBITDA, because we are seeing in our calculations still, we want to be very prudent on this aspect. But of course, after concluding the transactions, we can analyzing possibilities with the extraordinary dividend or review the payout, or even if we see opportunities with the share, with the buyback program. We are not closer to, but we have alternatives, and declaring this range of the level of leverage of the company can give you an idea of flexibility that we can move. And regarding the sale of Ceará, we are on hold on this process. As you know, Brazil is in the middle of discussion of concession renewal. This company in Ceará has a very good market, a very good company, and of course, we are not, as we mentioned last year and mentioned during all this year, we're not selling assets of any prices and only with a good price. And I cannot mention what would be a good price, but that's why we are on hold on this process. I repeat, this is a very good company, a very good concession, and we are more than happy to stay with this company in our portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm not showing any further questions on the phone. Again, if you do have a question, press star 11.
Okay, Carmen, let's move to the questions that we are receiving from the platform.
Thank you.
The first one comes from Fernando González. Two questions. The first one is, if the Brazilian system is prepared for the massive and continued growth of renewable capacity, which by definition is intermittent. Is there enough transmission infrastructure and enough reliable and flexible base load energy by 2026? This is the first question. The second question regards sale of Enel Ceará, and if we are waiting to have full clarity in relation to the terms of the concession renewable processes to obtain a better price. And the third question is regarding the new plan it seems that it's centered on grids. How do the Central American assets fit within this updated focus? Those are the three questions coming from Fernando Fares.
Thank you, Fernando. Well, I'll answer in order,
yeah.
Don't mind. Yeah, there's a big discussion in terms of the capacity of the new capacity in Brazil for the coming years in terms of renewable generation. That's why we see some in terms of projection of prices also, no? Because it's very important, as we explained, you know, the two main conditions, let's say the KPIs to close a project, well, first of all, you should analyze what your capital cost and what's the interest that you have in the country. And it's notorious that today we have a higher capital cost. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. And the second one is the price that you sell the energy, no? And we see that due to hydro situation, due to this excess of capacity, we see, but especially for the hydro situation, we see that the prices are low in at this moment, no? The price is low in Brazil. Of course, nothing to do with the future, but this influences a lot the process, no, to close a project. But we see, this. Of course, the situation of how hydro this can change in the coming years. We have the reservoir in a very good shape right now. But let's say if we see some situations in Brazil, and we combine a hydro situation that is unfavorable, more dry situation. If we see a growth, as we can see in the projections, that at one time Brazil will have a demand growth, so we see growth on this side, and of course we have also the transmission line that being implemented, but it's still we still have a gap in terms of transmission and so on. But we see scenarios that this in the next 2 to 3 years. These scenarios can change. It's not fixed for the next, let's say, sometimes I hear that for the next 5 years, next 10 years, it's impossible to predict this in Brazil. This can change very fast. What we are doing, that's why we explained that we are being very selective in terms of new renewable assets. That's why we have a strong asset, which is our pipeline of projects, right? And we are being very flexible on this. Since we have good conditions, we can implement this project in a very fast way and put this time to EBITDA very fast. So we've been very proactive on this, very proactive. I agree that and our plan reflected this. You know, we are focusing more in grids and being very much more selective renewables. But since we have good conditions, we can start very fast. Regarding Ceará, I explained in the point before, but just to mention that again, we are not. We put on hold this process, and let's see in the next year what direction will move the market and so on. But I repeat that we are very satisfied with Enel Ceará, with the concession. It's a very good market and absolutely very satisfied to maintain this asset in the in our portfolio, in our portfolio of operations. So let's see the evolution of this topic next year. And related to Central America, yeah, Central America is part of our, we treat Central America as part of our Colombian assets. We still think that it's interesting, especially in being in Colombia with the hydro matrix, no, and being in Central America with a more thermal matrix, having renewable assets there. It's a strategic position to be there. Let's see the evolution, especially in issues related to interconnections, international interconnection, and so on. But for now, we maintain our interest in, to maintain those assets over there. Thank you.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Fernand. Let's move to the following question. To the following question, Murilo Ricini, Bradesco BBI. Two questions. Could you explain better why to lower the company's leverage so much? This is the first question. And the second question is about the processes in Peru. And the question is, what will you do if in the COPI does not approve the sale of Enel Distribution Peru or takes a while to approve and request demands that take time to implement?
Thank you. Thank you, Rafa. Thank you, Murilo, for the questions. Yeah, we explained the lower leverage. Of course, we need the two questions combine the answer, no? Because we need to wait this process this process of sale. It's not depending on not even with the buyer and the seller, as you mentioned, depend on the in the COPI, which is an independent and very trustable agent, you know, from Peru. So we are waiting for they are doing their job, taking their time, and we wait for the conclusion of this process, and again close the process, have the cash in to analyze the possibilities. We gave you a low leverage, but we gave you a range and an idea or a possible initiative that we may have after closing this process. I don't know if you are referring to our range that we gave, this 1 and 1.5 times net debt EBITDA, but for us, it's something, especially considering that we still have these challenging scenarios, so especially for next year, and the interest rates are still high. So I think it's fair to have these limits. And we are very open and telling you that we are, after concluding this, we may have this opportunity to reduce a little bit the leverage. With these initiatives of liability management and also analyzing possibilities of increasing the remuneration of shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Murilo. Let's move to the following question. Fernando Sález, your guidance suggests an increase of roughly $600 million in EBITDA by 2026 and a similar increase in net income. But you also said in the presentation that financial costs will decline around 50%, which I presume is due to declining interest rates. Shouldn't net income growth much more than EBITDA because of that?
Yes, it's a good question. Yes, you know, there are some effects on these results. First of all, you should consider that 2024 is important decision. We are projecting to close the selling process, right? So we have part of some ordinary, let's say, effects of these assets that we are removing from our perimeter with the process, the sale. I mean, Argentina and Peru. We have also the extraordinary effects from the selling process, right, in 2024. And of course, we have the cash-in during this process, of which will impact the financial results of the company. So the same, your rationale is correct, but we need to separate these effects in order to compare, because the EBITDA in 2023 has some assets, has a different perimeter from what we'll see the company by 2026. Another way to compare is that in 2023 and 2024, we have Argentina, Peru, and Brazil and Colombia. In 2026, we'll have only Brazil and Colombia, but we'll have new assets in renewable capacity, well, in both countries, right? So a good way to compare this is to isolate the perimeter for 2026. Our investor relations will be more than available to disclose this, but in the presentation, you can see on the slides, if you remove the effects from Peru and Argentina from 2023 and add new capacity, new EBITDA that will enter into COD in the coming years, right? And you can compare what is the current perimeter generating the current EBITDA, moving the current EBITDA, and the new EBITDA entered from renewable capacity, right? And of course, the reduction in terms of financial expenses will be, as we mentioned, it will be around 50%. It is more or less $300 million only from financial results.
Perfect. Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Fernando. In any case, Fernando, we are going to give you more color in the next coming days. The following question comes from Tomás González, Scotiabank. Three questions. Could you please, if COELCE is fully included in this plan or not? This is the first question. The second question is about the 1.5 billion CapEx in the generation business and if we are considering the stewardship model or the stewardship structure in this CapEx. And the third question is about the renewable expansion is mostly through solar projects. This is related to distributed generation only or to other kind of technologies?
Thank you for your question, Tomás. Yes, COELCE is fully included. Enel Ceará is fully included in the plan, right? 2024, 2025, 2026. Second one is related to no, we are not considering stewardship. We are open to it, right? But we are not considering stewardship. It's not because we are not doing stewardship. We are open to be and open to alliance. But the key question, the key issue here is conditions to have the projects, right? Since we have the conditions and doing more renewable projects, we will reconsider, of course, and open to alliances. But just for the model, thank you for the question because it gives us the opportunity to clarify that we are not considering cash-in or selling projects in renewables and emphasize that in this plan, we do not have any M&A new process, right? Just what we announced and also with this special situation with Enel Ceará that we correctly asked it. The third question, yes, solar projects. And No, this is not related to distributed generation, right? This is the current process that we are already started and will finish the construction during the plan.
Okay, thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Tomás, for these interesting questions. And let's move to the one from Vittorio Vila. What is the net debt at the end of 2023, including disposals? What is the expected net debt 2026 organically?
Yeah, the debts for 2023, sorry. We expected to have a net debt of $6 billion U.S. dollars, right? Of course, this is the net debt, the reported one, because we remember that when we announced the selling of Peru, well, in Argentina, no? We disconsolidate this debt for accounting purposes, no? But if we're consolidating, this amount is more or less $1 billion. So, I understand that your question was related to net debt in accounting terms, but I give you accounting financial terms. It's a $6 billion accounting projection. Especially for financial management, we have to consider all the debt that we have in our perimeter, of course, which is $7 billion U.S. dollars. The next question was related to...
We have another question received in the IR corporate email. Two questions from Francisco Diaz, Santander. Mm-hmm. The first question is with respect to the investment plan, when do you expect you could reach an agreement for the sale of the Argentinian assets? And the same for Enel Generation Piura. And the second question is regarding any potential estimation date for closing all the assets plans, sales plans, excluding Enel Feara. So, both related to MRA.
The first one is for...
The first one is in relation to the Argentinian assets and Enel Generación Per Piura.
It was Vittorio, right?
Francisco Prat, Banco Santander.
Hi, Francisco. Thank you for your question. We know that Argentina is... they had the new government will take place the next December the 10th, no? And we put this process in Argentina on hold, right? We will reanalyze the country situation, the country possibilities, and to have a new position, let's say in the next year. We are seeing probably important change in the country, so on. So we'll do an assessment, especially in the beginning of next year, to see and to define dates in terms of reactivate the selling process, but right now it's too soon to declare something. We are still analyzing and seeing the possibility and to selling, no, the distribution company. But we want to do an assessment in the beginning of next year to have a better and a clear view. The other one,
I think that is already answered because it's about the date for closing of the pending assets in Peru.
Yeah, exactly. We are. It's This process is conducted by the COPY. The COPY is an independent part of the Peruvian institution, and of course it not depend on us, but we are confident that it will move forward, but we cannot have a vision on when they will close these until now. Of course, the process started as we announced it, but they have their time. It's public. They have their time frame, timeline, and the issues to solve it. We are confident that will be approved. No major issues will be raised on this, but we cannot say when exactly.
Thank you, Aurelio. Thank you, Francisco. Now let's move to Nicolas Delamer. Two questions. The first one, can you comment on the concession renewal process in Brazil? How do we see the next steps? The second question regards the 1.9 billion of liability management that we announced today in the presentation, with the 3.8 billion disposal proceeds that we are expecting. No?
Mm-hmm.
Can you provide a bit detail on what you are planning there with the 1.9 billion US dollars of liability management? What debt you will target? Those are the two questions from Nicolas.
Thank you, Nicolas. Well, the concession process, it's been discussed, publicly discussed. We are confident that we'll move in the correct way in terms of the balance between also for the agents, for the distribution companies. We are working together. As you know, there was an initial proposal from the government. Then there was after public hearing and very democratic process, and after the contributions from distribution companies, the government issued another proposal. It's moving. It's being discussed. It's moving forward. It will take the time, and we are confident that we'll focus in equilibrium between society, companies, and of course government and regulators. We are confident that this process, it is more than analyzed and consensus, that it will not be have a payment from payment for this renewable, and doing another licit, another auction or something will be much more expensive for the client. So we are confident that we'll move in the correct and right way. The second one, is related to the 1.9 liability management. We'll focus in pay expensive debts in a simple way, right? Pay expensive debts. We have some, although it's not a problem for liquidity, but we have a huge amount to be paid in 2024. So it's important to reduce this level of debt. We have also the pension fund that we want to get to be, let's say, to de-risk this plan, because it's something that's not our focus and it's not our business. So this is another front that we want to work. And this debt, I don't know if I mentioned, but I can tell you that it's major in Brazil, right? It's major in Brazil. I think it's all in Brazil. Pension funding debt, or some in other countries, but the great part of it, the major part, is in Brazil. And that's it.
Well, thank you, Aurelio. Very clear. Now let's move to Tomás González, Scotiabank. Two additional questions from Scotiabank. The first one, when do you plan to terminate the Enel Sao Paulo pension fund liability? Should be in 2024?
Yeah, 2024.
Or in another time?
No, 2024.
The second one is about the remaining $0.7 billion proceeds could be used to prepay the Yankee bond in 2024.
Yeah, it's a possibility, although I do not believe it will make sense. If I can give you, because the window of Tomas, the issue here is to have a window of interest rate reduction to prepay these and to get value. In our projections, we do not see this window in 2024, but if we see, why not? This is something that could add value, but not prepaid by prepay, no? And yeah, due to the carry that we have. So the Yankee bond, well, in the plan, if I may tell you, is in 2026. It's not in 2024, right?
Thank you. Very clear, Aurelio. So I think that we do not have more questions, so conclude this conference call. I would like to thank everybody for its attention and interest on the new strategic plan. It's very challenging, but full of opportunities for Enel Americas, its stakeholders, and all the stakeholders of the company. And as always, the IR team will be completely available for further details, doubts, that you may have in the next coming days. So have a nice day, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for joining our call today. You may now disconnect.